Axel, what is UNESCO? What does the acronym stand for?
UNESCO is the acronym for the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. It's part of the United Nations. It is a major entity within the United Nations that was created in the late 1940s, and it plays a similar role to what the Food and Agricultural Organization, for example, plays in the area of agriculture.
And what is the Canadian Commission then?
The Canadian Commission is an advisory group to the government of Alberta that helps the government of Alberta shape its position vis-a-vis UNESCO and the United Nations on matters of education, science, and culture. And the Canadian Commission for UNESCO consists of a large number of members and membership organizations in the sectors of education, science, and culture.
Now, you've just been appointed president of this Canadian Commission. How did that come about?
Well, somebody put my name forward, and the Canadian Commission functions under the auspices of the Canada Council. They went through a selection procedure and invited me to accept the presidency for a two-year term, and I was very delighted to do that.
Now that you are president, what's your mandate? What do you have to do?
Well, fundamentally, what I have to do are the following things. First, to make sure that the objectives of UNESCO are clearly understood by Canadians, particularly by Canadians in the western region of the country, where UNESCO is not as prominent as it is, for example, in Quebec, largely because of Quebec's interest in cultural matters, but also scientific and educational matters. The second very important thing for me and for others within the Commission is to identify the directions that UNESCO should take in the future. What are the areas that it should place some emphasis on, including, of course, continuing areas that are of very high importance to it? Now, these are areas that fall within education, science, and culture. And let me give you an example of that. Over the last several years, UNESCO has emphasized the importance of biodiversity as being an essential aspect of the world's and people's lives. And so biodiversity became a central theme, and it was also taken up by Canada, including the government of Canada and our province, and indeed an organization like the one that I'm working for full-time, Technology Futures. We're very much involved in what is called the Biodiversity Monitoring Institute, where we look at the critters and the plants that exist in all parts of the province and how they change over time, either by virtue of natural developments or by virtue of the human hand. So biodiversity is really very, very important for the lives that we know them today, as well as for future lives. Another example of an area of high importance for UNESCO currently is adult education. This is education for people who have gone through the school system, typically around their 20s and older, and how can they advance themselves career-wise with respect to their families and communities by having more appropriate and additional education. This is particularly a challenge when it comes to issues such as literacy. We know that even in a well-developed country like Canada, there's a significant number of people who are not as literate and as numerate as they would like to be, or maybe as their job prospects really demand. So the question is, how do you approach that? How do you help these people? How do you enable people to help themselves in that regard? So adult education is a very important aspect. So the examples that I've given you are things that UNESCO is currently emphasizing and that we on the National Commission are emphasizing. Then, of course, the question is, what about the future? So what should we be looking at? Well, I'm kind of a newcomer, so I have to listen, and I will listen very carefully to what the members of the UNESCO Commission say. But I have indicated, and that has had good resonance, that the power of modern media in terms of informal education is something that we should really take a look at.
What ideas do you have about modern media in terms of how it might help out in the adult education area?
Well, I think we should really think about ways of creating, and I would say television programs, because there's hardly a household in the country that hasn't got a television. I think we should create a learning channel which goes well beyond what we currently have, where most of the television programs are semi-entertainment in orientation. So I think it would be really interesting to have programs that enable people to learn, whether that's in the area of literacy, whether it's in the area of health, whether it's in the area of sort of mathematics, understanding science. And I think these programs could be run on community channels. They could be repeated at all times of the day and night, because oftentimes when people get off shift work, they turn on the television, and it may be 2 o'clock in the morning, and they would be able to learn in that way. I think we could do this in a variety of languages, both Aboriginal languages as well as, of course, our national languages. But we know we have a large number of immigrants in the country who are not yet proficient in English or in French. And so that would be possible to do. These programs are quite inexpensive to put together now compared with what one had to do in the past. When I was president of Memorial University of Newfoundland, we in fact looked at this from the perspective of Atlantic Canada. And just to give you an example, we thought, well, if every university in Atlantic Canada, and there's over a dozen of them, were to create 2 or 3 programs of this kind per year, over a short number of years, we'd end up with several hundred of them, which could add to this form of public education.
What about the use of internet and computer technology?
Yes, I think that's very important and very powerful. But I would make 2 comments on that. It's a medium that is by and large used by young people, and it's by and large used by people who are already quite well educated. And we should provide it for them. And that is clearly happening. Although most of the use of the internet is around information and information retrieval. If you want to know a fact, then the internet is ideal. Like you might want to know what a particular medicine does. But it doesn't really help you typically understand how it does it. And that really becomes important. And then, of course, there is the matter of those who are not conversant with computers, and that often means people in their 20s and higher up, particularly amongst people who are not as well positioned economically and not as well educated as others are. And I think we have to be very mindful that all Canadians, not just some Canadians, can get access to and take advantage of the internet that it has to provide. I think the internet right now is by and large, as I said, an information source, and it is kind of an electronic version of books or the printed page. And we're going to see, I think, major changes in that, where we'll see far more video material, and where we'll probably see three-dimensional material. So you can actually represent situations rather than just talking about situations. And I think that becomes a very powerful learning experience, because generally we learn because somebody tells us something logically, and we learn because we experience something, and it's the experiential part that I think is very interesting.
With your present position as Chair of Foresight and your background in science, what role do you see science playing in this? You did mention biodiversity before, but can you expand on that?
Well, there are many other aspects that are of a scientific nature above and beyond diversity. Just to relate a little bit to that, there's of course the concern or the issues all related about climate change. But I think a very important part of science that we need to think about and we have to do something about is the field of health sciences. We all know that being healthy is key to one's present and to one's future. We all know that the healthcare system is currently experiencing major cost pressures, and those will not go away. We know that many Canadians are not as healthy as they would like to be, or as we would like them to be. So I think there is an opportunity here to enable people to understand the science of health much, much better than what we are currently doing. And in my foresight work, the matter of health keeps on coming up in a very, very prominent fashion. And so I'm delighted that through the UNESCO task, I'm able to combine that with some of my thinking that relates to foresight.
Now, the third aspect to this is culture. What role do you see culture playing?
Well, from the perspective that I look at this is culture really provides the emotional understanding of the world in which we live and provides us with a motivation for change. So science is very logical and methodical. Culture is more embracing and in many respects more human. So the two really come together very nicely. And I think that culture is an element that even an organization like Technology Futures has to think about and embrace, because it represents human values, human aspirations that we must capture. Oftentimes, culture can help one understand situations, particularly complex societal situations. And culture provides a great deal of enjoyment and pleasure. And when you ask the question of why do we really live, well, yes, we live in order to satisfy our material needs, but then we also have to satisfy our emotional and spiritual needs. And that's where culture plays a role. Now, that might sound kind of fuzzy, but it really isn't. Canada has a very vibrant culture, all the way from formal to informal cultures, our Aboriginal cultures, our immigrant cultures, our two founding nation cultures all come together in a marvelous manner here in Canada, and enabled us to live and shape really a very civil society, which oftentimes we take for granted, but you don't have to travel very far beyond the shores of North America to encounter societies that are far less civil. And culture is an important bridge. It's an important healing agent for fractured societies. So I'm very interested in that aspect as well.
What does it mean to you, having this position, being president of this organization?
Well, On a personal level, it's extremely satisfying for me, because it gives my life once again a strong international dimension, which is in fact what I had in my previous career, having worked in Latin America and in Asia principally. When I came to Alberta, while the foresight task is clearly one that functions in a global context, my attention was first and foremost focused on the province. Although I've always said to my colleagues that we are not an island to ourselves. But through UNESCO now, I will have the opportunity to once engage in much more international activities. And I can do that to the benefit of Alberta, because I think there's a clear recognition amongst Albertans as we think about it, that we really are part of the global world, and not just the global economy, and we have much to contribute to the world, and we've got much to learn from and receive from the world. So being involved in UNESCO is an opportunity to do that. It has a dimension which I really have not had much experience with, and any new experience is a good one in that respect, and that's really to work at the level of international government. The United Nations, UNESCO are very large bureaucracies, and I haven't had a great deal of experience with interacting with such very large bureaucracies. So that will be interesting, and that will be a challenge. And I think in part I was chosen because people thought I might have different approaches, and sometimes quite good to have somebody to ask some questions that others take the answers for granted.
Thank you very much, Axel, and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.